It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, May 22nd. How are we doing this morning? Just back from the PGA Championship in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where the final round of the second men's major on the calendar takes place later today. So lots to talk about. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. And of course, the big news that broke last evening around 7:30 Eastern time. Tiger Woods withdrew from the PGA Championship. It's the first time in his pro career that Tiger has withdrawn from a major. After grinding it out on Friday to shoot a 1-under-69 and make the cut, one under the cut line at +3 for the championship on Friday. Yesterday, in the third round, Tiger did not play well at all. He shot a 9-over-79, and at 12-over for the championship, Tiger was tied for last place. His +979 is the highest score Tiger ever shot in a PGA Championship, but not his highest score ever. His highest score ever was the 81 he shot in the third round of the 2002 Open at Muirfield. And he shot an 80 in the opening round at the 2015 U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. Well, yesterday was not pretty. He struggled from the start. His round included 7 bogeys, 5 straight bogeys on holes 9 through 13. He had 6 bogeys in 7 holes. He had a triple on the par 3 sixth after finding the water on his tee shot. He missed short par saves on 7 and on 12. His only birdie of the day came on the 16th. Where he drained a long putt for birdie there. So he looked like he was in pain as he walked up and down the hills of the course. And after he finished, he said, "I'm sore. I know that's a fact. We'll do some work and see how it goes." And then later, Tiger's agent, Mark Steinberg, told Bob Herrig of Sports Illustrated Morning Read that Tiger has pain and discomfort in his foot. He just thought it was in his best interest not to tee it up today, and he went on to say the quick turnaround, the dramatic weather conditions, afterward he made the decision, and that's where we are. And Steinberg said the future has always been a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month thing. There is not an update on his future. That's not a bad thing. That's just reality, said his agent. And Joe LaCava, Tiger's caddy, said that as much as he's working and trying, the body just won't cooperate. Well, had he played today, since he was tied for last place, he would have had to start at 7 a.m. Central Time, which is in about an hour. And for him to get ready to play, it takes hours and hours of prep work to get his body ready. So I'm not really surprised that he withdrew. And if he's in so much pain and discomfort, it's probably for the best. Now, his next event could be the U.S. Open, June 16 and 19. We're not sure if he'll play there. We're not sure if he'll play the Memorial, May 30th through June 5th, which he's won 5 times. And, you know, he's said numerous times that he will probably just focus on playing major championships. So let's see where he's at in a couple weeks. And, you know, at the beginning of PGA Championship week, Tiger said his injured legs felt stronger than they felt last month during the Masters. He looked rested. He looked happy. But he has said that he is always in pain. That's the norm for him. And the amount of time and effort it takes him to deal with getting ready to play with his whole team of physical therapists, the before and the after, is very extensive. And here is a question I asked him during his presser last Tuesday.
How close are you physically now to being as good as it's going to get based on your injuries?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. There's going to be limitations. I mean, there's a lot of hardware in there, and there's going to be limitations to what I'm going to be able to do. But I'm going to get stronger. I don't know how much that is or how much range of motion I'll ever get back. But sure as I have a lot better than was, you know, 12 months ago.
All right, more on Tiger a little later, but let's look at the leaderboard. Very tough conditions yesterday with rain and wind and cold temperatures. I mean, the temps were in the 90s most of the week, and then yesterday the temperatures dropped down to low 50s. And we'll get a scene setter later in the show, but it's going to be chilly there today as well. Mika Pereira, he's 27 years old. He's from Chile. He's making just his 28th start on the PGA Tour, and he finds himself at the top of the leaderboard of the PGA Championship. And he has been impressive all week. He began the day one shot behind Will Zalatoris yesterday. He shot 68, 64 earlier in the week. He shot a 1-under-69 yesterday in the third round, closing with a birdie on the 18th to pad his lead to 3 at 9-under for the championship. 5 birdies, 4 bogeys. He actually had bogeys on 8, 9, 10, and 12, but then he birdied 13, 14, and finished with a birdie on the 18th. So great play coming down the stretch for Pereira, who is playing in this his first PGA Championship. He won 3 times on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's ranked 100th in the world. And while most everyone else was going backwards on Saturday in the tough conditions, Pereira looked very relaxed and unfazed by everything. He's actually sharing a house in Tulsa with Joaquim Niemann, a fellow Chilean who won the Genesis Invitational earlier this year. And Pereira represented Chile in the Olympics, finishing 4th last summer. And then last week at the AT&T Byron Nelson, he finished tied for 17th. And when he was younger, he spent 6 months at the IMG Academy in Florida, and he quit the game for 2 years because he was burned out. Well, good thing he came back. And he played 1 year at Texas Tech, so that's a little bit of background on Pereira, who could vary, not easily, but he could maintain his lead and close it out today, which would be an incredible story. Matt Fitzpatrick of England, Will Zalatoris, they're tied for second place, 3 shots back. Pereira and Fitzpatrick are the only players to shoot under par in all 3 rounds. Fitzpatrick shot a 367 yesterday, 6 birdies, 3 bogeys. He finished with back-to-back birdies. He had a couple of top 10 finishes this year. He tied for second at Wells Fargo, tied for fifth at Valspar, tied for sixth at Pebble Beach. Fitzpatrick can play. And when he won the U.S. Amateur back in 2013, he became the first English winner of the U.S. Amateur since Harold Hilton back in 1911. Will Zalatoris, the second round leader, he's also 3 shots back. He shot a plus 373. He's 6 under overall. He made every putt on Friday when he shot that 65. But yesterday, he struggled on the greens. He missed several to the right, so he dropped down to 6 under. You remember him from the Masters when he finished runner-up last year. Cameron Young, a rookie on the PGA Tour, and whose father, David, is a head golf professional at Sleepy Hollow Country Club in Westchester County. He shot a 3-under-67, the same score he had on Friday. And yesterday he bogeyed the second hole, but he birdied 5, 6, 9, and 13. He eagled a par 417th. What a drive. 302 yards on that hole. Rolled in the 24-footer for eagle. So yeah, Young looking good. After he opened the championship with a 1-over-71, this is his second straight round of 67. Abraham Answer at 4-under is 5 shots back. Seamus Power is 3-under. Stuart Sink is 2-under. That's where Justin Thomas and Bubba Watson are. Bubba looked like he was going to make some noise. He was 1-under through 7 holes, but then he struggled on the back. He missed several short putts. He shot a plus 373. Justin Thomas started the day in third place, 3 shots back, but he struggled. Plus 474 he shot yesterday. Missed a lot of putts. He's 7 shots back. So a lot of these top players just went backwards. Rory McIlroy struggled big time yesterday. He started the day 5 shots back, but after 1 triple, 1 double, 3 bogeys, and 4 birdies, Rory carded a plus 474. So too bad after he opened with that stellar 65 on Thursday. All right, earlier in the week, the fact that defending champion Phil Mickelson was not playing dominated the headlines and conversation. And you heard my in-depth interview with the guy who wrote the unauthorized biography on Phil, Alan Shipnuck, and got a deeper sense of the extent of Phil's gambling issues. Alan wrote in his book that Phil lost $40 million in gambling in a span of a couple years. And that's just what was documented. We know from Phil's comments that he unleashed to Alan last November, the comments that Alan chose to publish this past February, that Phil is tied into that Saudi-founded Live Golf League. Phil said that he and his lawyers actually helped write the operating agreement for that league. And their first event is June 9 through 11 outside of London, a week before the U.S. Open. So the question remains, will Phil Mickelson play in that first Live Golf event? Thus basically choosing the Saudi-funded league with mega money and appearance fees over the PGA Tour. And if Phil plays in the Live Golf event in London, will he then play in the U.S. Open the week after in Brookline, Massachusetts, at the Country Club? So there are tons of questions surrounding Phil Mickelson, one of the most popular players in the game, obviously. And of course, there are all kinds of rumors floating around. And I don't like to talk about rumors on the air, but one that seems to have some semblance of truth to it is that the Saudi-backed league led by Greg Norman has already paid Phil some money, which may explain one of the reasons he did not play this week in the PGA Championship. Well, practically every player who came into the interview tent early in the week at Southern Hills was asked what their thoughts are about Phil not being there. And I have a couple clips of Tiger from earlier in the week as it relates to his thoughts on Phil. And here's Tiger reacting to Phil not being at Southern Hills.
It's always disappointing when the defending champion's not here. Phil has said some things that I think a lot of us who are committed to the tour and committed to the legacy of the tour have pushed back against, and he's taken some personal time, and we all understand that, but I think that some of his views and how the tour could be run, should be run, been a lot of disagreement there. But as we all know, as a professional, we miss him being out here. I mean, he's a big draw for the game of golf. He's just taking his time, and you know, we all wish him the best when he comes back. Obviously, we're going to have difference of opinions that how he sees the tour, and we'll go from there.
And Tiger explains in more detail their differences of opinion as it relates to the PGA Tour.
You know, he has his opinion on where he sees the game of golf going. You know, I have my viewpoint on how I see the game of golf, and I've supported the tour, and my foundation has run events on the tour for a number of years. And I just think that what Jack and Arnold have done in starting the tour and breaking away from the PGA of America and creating our tour, in 68 or 69, somewhere in there, I just think that there's a legacy to that. I've been playing out here for a number of years, for over a couple of decades, and I think there's a legacy to it. And I still think that what the tour has so much to offer, so much opportunity. Yes, it is. I understand different viewpoints, but I believe in legacies. I believe in major championships. I believe in big events, comparisons to historical figures of the past. And it's, you know, there's plenty of money out here. The tour is growing. But it's just like any other sports, like tennis. You got to go out there and earn it. You got to go out there and play for it. We have the opportunity to go ahead and do it. It's just not guaranteed up front.
All right, that's Tiger talking about Phil. And what's Tiger's future? Well, we don't know what Phil's future is, but Bobby Galb of WFAN producing and sales fame texted me that rumor word is St. Andrews is next for Tiger. Well, yes, he wants to play St. Andrews. Definitely. He's won there twice. The question is, do you think he'll play the U.S. Open at Brookline? I can't imagine he not try. But you never know, obviously, how he feels physically. So it's all a big question mark, both Tiger and Phil. All right, this morning we'll preview the final round of the PGA Championship with Oklahoma's top golf correspondent, Craig Humphreys of WWLS, the Sports Animal. He'll join us around 7:40. And coming up in a few minutes, a former PGA Tour player who has ties to Oklahoma and Southern Hills in more ways than one, Danny Edwards, just came out with a book called Driven, The Danny Edwards Story. He caddied at Southern Hills. He played in two major championships there. He has lived a full life as a top amateur player. He won five PGA Tour titles. And while he was playing on the tour, he tried to start the Tour Players Association. This was back in the 90s. He and a bunch of players, including Tom Lehman, Mark Brooks, Larry Rinker, they were trying to get the PGA Tour to be more transparent and more accountable. Interesting how history repeats itself. You'll hear what happened to the ill-fated association and Danny Edwards' part in it. So coming up, former PGA Tour player, entrepreneur, race car driver, golf instructor, Danny Edwards. He will join us. But first, let me tell you that some of the world's best golfers will be at the Travelers Championship. Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Dustin Johnson, world number one, Scotty Scheffler, and many more. They'll tee it up June 22nd through the 26th in Connecticut. But it's more than great golf. With proceeds benefiting local charities, it's also generous giving. For tickets and to learn more, visit TravelersChampionship.com and be sure to catch all the action.
Why do 2.5 million contractors, builders, and homeowners trust AJ Madison? Because they've got the largest selection of appliance brands, plus the industry's first in-stock promise, meaning the appliances you need will be in stock, ready to go. Bet you think it can't get better than that, but you'll be wrong. Memorial Day, you can get up to $2,000 back on a GE Profile appliance package, plus free delivery. Visit AJ Madison's Brooklyn Design Showroom today. For location information and hours, visit ajmadison.com. That's ajmadison.com, your appliance authority.
Between getting the kids up and ready for the day, picking them up from school, helping with homework, life feels like it won't stop. Sometimes all you want is to stop and enjoy a peaceful moment with your family or even just by yourself. Solo Stove fire pits are the simplest way to relax around crackling fire without all the smoke other fire pits make. With Solo Stove, it's never been easier to gather around the fire. Visit solostove.com for big discounts during the Memorial Day sale. Enjoy a roaring fire and good times with loved ones with Solo Stove.
Oh, hi there, Al Dukes here, and I just bought my lottery tickets on my phone with Jackpocket. That's right. No lines, no dealing with people. Didn't even have to leave my condo. Jackpocket lets you play your favorite daily games, Powerball, and Mega Millions right on your phone. Download Jackpocket and use code RADIO for a free ticket. That's code RADIO. Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games on your phone.
Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-HOPE-NY. Please visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Danny Edwards. Danny, I'm going to need two shows to cover your whole life here, but you recently came out with a book called Driven, The Danny Edwards Story. You won five PGA Tour titles. You won a title in Formula Ford Racing. And here we are at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma for the PGA Championship. And you've spent quite a lot of time here. So let's start with that. You caddied here at Southern Hills in the 70s. You played here in the 1977 U.S. Open, the 1982 PGA Championship. So you have quite a long history here in Southern Hills.
Yes, I started coming here in college. Of course, I grew up in Edmond, Oklahoma, and went to school at Oklahoma State, where I played my college golf. So we weren't very far away, and got a chance to come over here and caddy in that PGA Championship 1970, and just started a great kind of love affair with beautiful Southern Hills.
So what do you think of the Gil Hance and Jim Wagner renovation to restore Perry Maxwell's masterpiece?
Well, you know, I'm not a golf architect, but it sure looks like it's been very well received. I know those guys are really good, and listening to some of their discussions about what they did and why they did it really made a lot of sense. And the trees when I first came here, you know, almost like 50 years ago, were big then. But of course now they're the ones that are they left are even bigger. So you don't get the feeling that they took out very many trees, although they took out a lot, because it's still very well guarded and a beautiful, beautiful undulating piece of landscape that just has blended into a fabulous golf course.
They took out a lot of rough and put in more bunkers, greenside bunkers.
They did. They moved bunkers around, reshaped them like the original shaping of the bunker kind of has the craggy edges and all, instead of being smooth and round. I've walked around the course the last few days, and it's just beautiful. It's interesting, the runoffs and the way the greens are kind of you know, like a pincushion a little bit, and it's going to require some really good shot making.
So I understand your roommate back in the day caddied for Ben Hogan here?
Yes, my roommate over here caddied for Ben Hogan. Mr. Hogan came and played two rounds, but the weather was horribly hot. It was from 105 to 110. Mr. Hogan played two practice rounds and decided to withdraw. So he gave my friend his caddy his Ben Hogan cap, a $100 bill, and he signed his Ben Hogan cap. So I think that Ben Hogan cap's probably worth a whole lot more than $100 now.
Well, what a history you've had. You were one of the top amateurs in the game before you turned pro. As I mentioned, 5 PGA Tour titles. Talk a little bit about your background, because you were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth.
No, I grew up in a town where there was no golf, Edmond, Oklahoma, 5,000 people just north of Oklahoma City. No golf courses, and I was a baseball and basketball player growing up. Had no idea what golf was. Saw some guys chipping balls around or hitting balls in the old high school football field over the summer, asked them what they were doing, and they said, come on over and we'll show you how to hit a golf ball. So I did, and I was just captivated by that ball. When you hit it on that club and it took off, I thought, that is the coolest thing. So I had a friend, very good friend, who was on the basketball team with me, who played golf with his father. He and his father played. And so I had a chance to kind of watch Paul, and he kind of made a few suggestions. And so I asked for a set of clubs. As an individual game, you have to stay focused on your business. And all of the dads were saying, don't you get involved with the politics of the tour. You keep your head to the grindstone, and you make your mark as a player. And the tour knew that. And so it was a difficult time once we really kicked that off. But there was a lot of interest.
So you started the Tour Players Association and got a lot of resistance.
Yes, we decided, there were two other guys, Mark Brooks and Larry Rinker, that were also, you know, very encouraging to me. I didn't want to do it. For the year that I came back out after, selling Royal Grip and coming back to the tour, I just wanted to play golf. And they said, oh, Danny, you're a businessman. You're the right guy to lead this. You know, we're just not getting the information we need. And So I finally said, okay, I'll do it for 2 years, and so I did. And, we tried to very professionally and very conservatively impress on the leadership of the tour, you know, Tim Fincham in particular, that we thought we had a right to see more about the comings and the goings and the financial situation of our organization. But they would have nothing to do with it.
And you were just asking for, you know, what a lot of players and media want, transparency. Yeah. A lot of players are asking for accountability, but you became the fall guy for this.
Well, I did. For 2 years, they did plenty of dirty tricks to me, put letters in players' lockers over a player's signature that the player had never seen. Said to the board on occasion that they had invited us to come down and sort of present what we thought we would like to see, and then when it turns out the player, they never invited us. They told the board that they invited us and we no-showed, and of course they never invited us. So it was a disappointing time, because the players, we had 75 players that had signed up, including Phil and several other top players, that just simply wanted to find out what was going on with our organization.
Including Phil?
Yeah, Phil was a member of the TPA.
How long ago was that?
Well, it was when the 2 years that we had the TPA, which was back in the, back in the late 90s, in that neighborhood. He was just, getting started, but still had played very well. And we had other top players on the that had had joined as well and wanted to see the same things.
Interesting. It's just history kind of repeats itself, right? And you became the fall guy, as I mentioned before, and the PGA Tour thought you were doing more to hurt the PGA Tour than anything else.
All we wanted to do, Ann, was to look at our organization that supposedly we owned as a group of players. We wanted to have some transparency. It wasn't about showing anything out in the public or not. We just wanted to get the information. And their line for me was, Danny Edwards has done more to hurt the PGA Tour than anybody in history. And that, that hurt. But the interesting and very unfortunate thing that happened was after my 2 years, we had selected a fellow who had agreed to come on board and be the head of the TPA, Juan Payne Stewart. And I was on the practice green at Pinehurst on that Sunday afternoon talking to our attorneys about the press conference we had scheduled in Houston at the Tour Championship. I was flying down there to meet Payne the next morning and introduce him as a new head of the TPA. And when his plane went down, tragically, that was the end of the TPA.
Wow, what a tragic story. We lost Payne in that crazy airplane accident, and he was going to Houston, correct? And to the Tour Championship and to meet with you.
Yes, he was going to go in front of the press, national press, and as our new president of the TPA.
Crazy, crazy ending to, tragic story there. So then after that happened, the TPA disappeared.
Disappeared. There was really nothing. It was just such a tragic thing. You just didn't feel like going on. And, of course, the whole situation was just a disaster. We went ahead and had a brief meeting, and Tim Finchem wanted to be in the meeting, and he wasn't invited, and we didn't want him there, and he wanted to be there, and he and Tom Lehman pretty much got in a pushing, shoving contest, but that was the end. And so Finchem went on in and, again, just kind of blasted me and everybody else for what we were trying to do, and that was the end of it.
And what did you, Danny Edwards, do after that?
Well, I was really kind of finishing my career on tour. I played a few more years, played through 2010, and then I kind of moved on to some other things and business things, and just kind of moved on.
So you are a businessman, along with everything else, true Renaissance man that you are. Talk a little bit about the chipping equation. I know you, before that, co-founded Royal Grip, and now this chipping equation seems to be picking up a lot of steam.
Well, thank you, Anne. It is. I always agonized over the inability of my amateur partners on the tour all those years in the pro-ams, their inability to chip the ball. And I would ask them, guys and gals, what are you doing here? And they just kind of said, well, I'm just guessing, really. They had a favorite club. And I said, where are you going to land the ball? They had no idea. So I wanted to do some research. I really wanted to find out if there was some science behind my notion that horizontal momentum is a much more predictable way to chip than the lofted clubs. So I commissioned the first ever TrackMan analysis of chipping in Denmark about 3.5 years ago, and what we found out was fascinating. The lob wedges are inconsistent because with slow swing speeds, with those high lofted 60, 62, 58, 56, the ball doesn't stay on the face. There's no compression. So, or little compression, so the ball skids. We've all hit a shot with a lob wedge that we're trying to hit it 10 steps, and it goes 5 or 6. So with that information, I knew that horizontal momentum was a much better predictable way for people to chip. So what I did was I put together a very simple system. I wanted it to be super simple with two clubs and two simple formulas for carry and roll out. So that allows a player to step off the distance between their ball and the hole, divide it immediately by one of the two formulas, and know the right club to use. And so the landing spot then becomes a very manageable, predictable spot of maybe 4, 5, 6 steps. And if you get in the right setup and you chip that ball correctly, which is very simple to do, that ball will land on your predictable spot, and the rollout will be predictable, and the ball will finish right by the hole. So there also is a set of little modifications that go to it for the tricky shots, the short side shots, the uphill, the downhill, the false front. It's all about being able to calculate a landing spot that is close to you, that anyone can do, man or woman, boy or girl. But when you give a player a shot that's 60, 70, 80 feet away and say, chip a ball to that hole, that's a tough call. It's interesting, professional bowlers, when they bowl, don't even look at the pins. They look at the little arrows 5 steps from them in the lane. And that's what their target is. Why in the world would we try to train golfers to hit a target 60, 70, 80, 90 feet away instead of having a formula where they can set up and chip a ball 4 or 5 steps and it'll roll out automatically? That's what the chipping equation does for golfers.
Well, it sounds wonderful. It sounds like something I need to read. It's all in the book, right? Driven, the Danny Edwards story, champion professional golfer, race car driver, entrepreneur extraordinaire, with Bob Denny, our good friend, and a foreword by Johnny Miller. Extraordinary book, extraordinary Renaissance man. Danny Edwards, thanks so much for being on the show, and continued success.
Great. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it.
All righty. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Well, coming up, we'll get you all ready for the final round of the PGA Championship at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. One of my radio colleagues for many years, Craig Humphreys, he is out there, and we're going to connect with him when we come back. But first, let me tell you that Travelers never loses sight of its promise to take care of customers and communities. That's why the company supports the Travelers Championship, Connecticut's world-class PGA Tour event that gives 100% of net proceeds to charity. Since 2007, the tournament has generated over $22 million for nonprofits across the region, thanks to the support of some of the PGA Tour's best players, thousands of volunteers, and all the loyal fans. For tickets and to learn more, visit TravelersChampionship.com. Be sure to catch all the action June 22nd to the 26th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
All right, we are back. Finally, Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori, and we're heading out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where the PGA Championship final round actually gets started in about an hour. And Craig Humphreys of the Sports Animal radio station out there joins me. Craig and I have worked alongside each other for years at the Masters and various other majors. And hey, Craig, welcome to Talking Golf.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Ann. And if I can, congratulations on winning the Winnie Palmer Award, the Met Golf Writers honoring Ann coming up June the 21st at Westchester Country Club. 100th anniversary for Westchester in 2022, but I know a lot of other people are going to be honored that night, Dottie Pepper, Mike Davis, Mark Cannizzaro. But Ann, what you've done, especially through your foundation for cancer research, I know right now my wife is battling cancer, my son has battled it before. I really appreciate everything you've done for cancer research, and it couldn't happen to a better person, so congratulations.
Oh, my goodness, Craig. Well, I certainly didn't expect that, but thank you so much. Well, you know, I was out there in Tulsa earlier in the week when temps were in the 90s. And my gosh, the weather has changed drastically. What's going on out there? It got really tough yesterday, condition-wise.
Well, if they say in Oklahoma, if you want the weather to change, just wait a day. Because, and I don't know if we've ever seen a more dramatic change than from Friday to yesterday, because like you said, temperatures were in the 90, heat index over 100, And then yesterday we had wind chills in the 40s, literally, at Southern Hills. And so, and we talked all weekend about how when the wind would change on the weekend, we knew the wind was going to change and come out of the north on Saturday and Sunday. These golfers played in the predominant south wind all week long with winds gusting up to 35, 40 miles an hour. And then to have it switch and come out of a totally different direction, that was a big change. And then you had the temperatures on top of that. Totally different golf course yesterday.
Unbelievable. And so what do you make of this leaderboard? I mean, 11 of the 16 players in the top 10 on the leaderboard are looking for their first major title. And then you have, you know, Mito Pereira, Will Zalatoris, Cameron Young, Matt Fitzpatrick. They're all looking for their first win. So it's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to the big names? I tell you, they should fire me as a golf handicapper, because I came on yesterday morning and said I thought it was going to come down to Justin Thomas. I was going to stick with him. I thought Rory would regain his game. He had fallen back a little bit with a 71 on Friday after that opening 65. But Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, even the young guys like a Davis Riley, after opening with a pair of 68s, he fell back with a 73. Cameron Smith had that great run earlier this year, winning the Players, tied for third in the Masters, one of the top players in the world. He fell back with a 73 yesterday. Even guys like Tyrrell Hatton, 74, Patrick Reed, 73, local stars like Taylor Gooch with a 74, Victor Hovland with a 75. Anyone with any name power fell back yesterday. And so we're left with Pereira, who did play his college golf at Texas Tech, and he's a good story in itself. I tell you, the guy that we should be looking at, in my opinion, and on the weekend, is Matt Fitzpatrick, because he has had a very good stretch of golf, and tied for second in the Wells Fargo here recently. Earlier this year, had a tie for fifth at the Valspar, tie for ninth at Bay Hill, tie for 10th at Phoenix, tie for 6th at Pebble, previous majors, tie for 14th at this year's Masters. So to me, as I handicap things today, and I don't know if that means anything, but Matt Fitzpatrick stands out as the player to beat today, even though he's three shots behind.
And exactly. I mean, Fitzpatrick has always impressed me. He can play. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, he won that U.S. Amateur back in 2013. He became the first English winner of the U.S. Amateur since Harold Hilton back in 1911. So, I mean, Fitzpatrick is solid, all these guys. But you mentioned some of the big names. Well, Rory McIlroy. What? I mean, you know, he just had that great opening round, 65. He's 9 shots back. Brooks Koepka, 13 shots back. Jordan Spieth, who I picked, 14 shots behind. And, you know, Jordan Spieth played with Tiger and Rory in the first two rounds. And, you know, Tiger was Jordan Spieth's hero growing up. And I didn't think Spieth, as well as he, you know, did last week and leading up to this PGA Championship, Craig, I didn't think Spieth would really shine when I saw that pairing. I just think, you know, when you look up to somebody that much, like he looked up to Tiger, I didn't expect Jordan to do well.
Yeah, normally when you have a pairing like that, it does not help the players. And we saw that again this week. Spieth fell back with a 74, like you said yesterday. Rory, after that great opening round, comes out yesterday. He's still right in contention, double on number 6. Then he bogeys 7 and 8. And then Rory had the triple on number 11. So a double and a triple yesterday. Rory falls back. And so, yeah, it has not been a good week for the big names, including Tiger. We didn't even mention Tiger with the 79 and had the WD. But, you know, in his defense, I mean, he put on a great battle on Friday just to make the cut. One putted, what, 6 straight holes from 12 to 17 on Friday, just battling, made huge par savers at 12 and 14. But then he shoots a 79 yesterday. Now, it was the cold weather. I mean, when he teed off yesterday morning, I mean, it's wind chill in the 40s, and it's raining off and on, and it was just miserable weather, similar to what we saw Saturday at Augusta National Land.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I was not surprised that he withdrew after shooting that 79, and he looked like he was in so much pain and discomfort. And, you know, what did you see in him? I mean, he just seemed like he was stumbling down those hills and just really laboring. And he would have, had he
play today, he would have been out there literally soon, right? Because he would have been, he was tied for last. Oh, yeah. He probably would have been the first one to tee off at 8 a.m. Yeah. your time. So I can't, you know, it takes him so much time to get his body ready, a lot of hours to, you know, get to a point where he can actually get out there and hit a ball. So it didn't surprise me. How about you?
Hey, no, it didn't surprise me. And, hey, it's great to have him back, though. I tell you, he entertained a ton of people here in Tulsa. And I tell you, Ann, he battled yesterday. He had to go one under on the last five holes just to stay out of the 80s. And believe me, he knew that. And so he showed us a couple of times this weekend, Friday and Saturday. You know, he will battle. He will never give up. This is the first time he's WD'd as a professional. I still think he's going to get back to playing some great golf. He's just not quite ready yet. I think really you hate to say the Masters and the PGA are tune-ups, but I think he's playing these as a tune-up for the Open Championship at St. Andrews.
Yeah, he's won there twice. It'll be interesting to see if he actually plays the U.S. Open in, you know, in Brookline at the country club. Who knows? But we do know he did say that he will play the Open Championship. How about, you know, let's talk a little bit about Mico Pereira. Very impressive young man from Chile. So composed, playing in his first PGA Championship. Yeah, he's 27 years old. This is only his 28th start on the PGA Tour. And the guy finds himself at the top of the leaderboard. Do you think he can maintain today and close it out?
You know, I would be surprised if he closed it out. But I'll tell you this. He impressed me yesterday. You know, he had the good start yesterday, birdies on 2 and 5, and so that got him all the way to 10 under. Heck, he had a 3-shot lead after 5, then he had a 4-shot lead through 6 holes. And then he had that stretch in where he had the 4 bogeys in 5 holes, and it looked like he was about to come apart, but then he got it back together and you know, made that long putt for eagle at 13 for the birdie. Great tee shot. You know, 14 is that tough par 3. Tremendous tee shot at 14. He makes that putt for another birdie and gets his round back on track. And so he had a very good finish, made the long putt at 18. Now he's got the 3-shot lead. So, yeah, I'm with you. I was amazed at his composure yesterday. Again, right now, if you ask me to bet on it, I wouldn't bet that he's going to be holding the Wanamaker Cup at the end of the day. But he impressed me yesterday. And this is his rookie season. He's got 5 top 25s this season, so don't count him out.
And Will Zalatoris, after putting lights out on Friday, he couldn't buy a putt yesterday. He's 3 shots back.
Yeah, I missed those 2 early short putts on number 1 and 4 early for Will Zalatoris. And he shoots a 4 over on the front 9, missed another short putt for birdie at number 9. But then he makes that bomb on number 13, and that gets him back to minus 6, but he falls back with the bogey at number 16, birdied the short 17th, as a lot of people did. So a little disappointed with his round. I mean, after opening 66, 65, he loves this golf course, 73 yesterday, but still not out of this, only 3 shots back.
And Cameron Young, great local story, the son of David Young, the head pro at Sleepy Hollow in Westchester County. He's, 5 shots back, so it's good to see Cameron Young in there.
That's a great story in New York, I know, and I saw him interviewed last night. And, of course, he's a college teammate of Will Zalatoris. He goes out, shoots 2 under on the front 9, had the bogey at 10, but he came back with a birdie at 13. And then that great shot in number 17, you know, they moved the tees up on 17, the par 4, made it a drivable par 4 yesterday. And he drives the green, makes a long putt for eagle. That puts him right in there. I tell you, 67 yesterday, one of the top rounds of the day by Cameron Young. And sitting there only 4 shots back, he's been very impressive in his rookie season.
We have about a minute, Craig. I mean, I could have you on for hours. You're so good. What are your thoughts about Phil Mickelson not playing this week and being from Oklahoma? How disappointing was it for the fans out there?
Well, always disappointed if he's not here, but I understand why he's not here. I think the reason he's not here, Ann, is because I think he's full speed ahead with the Saudi Tour. Is my best prediction. I think they've offered him so much money. I can't believe that he would be, you know, helping pay to to draw up the operating agreement if he wasn't way on down the line with them. And if he's that far down the line, I do think that he has accepted money. And I think that's the direction that he's going right now. And if he does, what that's going to do to his legacy, also his endorsement income has already dried up. That's going to be taken away from him. You know, he's at a crossroads right now.
I agree with you. I really think his head is in that Saudi league, which he admitted that he and his lawyer helped write their operating agreement. So I think he's definitely thinking about making all kinds of money and guaranteed appearances, et cetera, et cetera. And a reporter actually got to his mother, Phil's mother. I don't know if you saw that article, but Phil's mother said that Phil is as happy as she's seen him in years. He has a beard and mustache that she didn't recognize him at first. And he's just hanging out and watching his, you know, spending time with his family and watching his nephews play Little League and his niece playing lacrosse. So, you know, we'll, it's got one big mystery about Phil Mickelson, but it's always so compelling and so complex. It's always interesting to talk about. My thanks to you, Craig Humphries. I appreciate you getting up extra early for us and continued success.
And you're the best. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you, too. And my best to Bev, your wife, as she goes through these difficult times. Craig Humphries. My thanks to Craig Humphries, to Danny Edwards, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the PGA Championship. CBS Sports coverage starts at 1 Eastern, by the way. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge. And I look forward to visiting with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.